On this episode of the InsurTech Geek Podcast, talking about the importance of collaboration in the InsurTech ecosystem with Lars Gurman from Cutter Insurance Company. The InsurTech Geek Podcast, powered by JB Knowledge, is all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. We'll be interviewing guests and doing deep dives into specific tech we see changing the industry. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech, so enjoy the ride and geek out. And we are back with another episode. My good buddy, Rob Galbraith. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, James, how are you doing, man?
Having a great day. How about you?
Doing well. I finally, after some business travel and personal travel, just got back from spring break in Seattle and Portland with my kids. I was in London a couple weeks before that. But lo and behold, when I got back and got through my desk, I had a copy of Be Your Own VC on my desk. So there we go. I'm really enthralled, and it's a fantastic book. Highly recommend. So always love a good book. This one, obviously, in particular, of interest and importance. So yeah, congrats, James, on the book. It's fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah, I had to try and live up to your standard of books. I mean, you wrote an incredible book called The End of Insurance as We Know It, and I've recommended that many times to people. It certainly gave me a masterclass on insurance, and I wanted to try and give some education on how to bootstrap innovation, bootstrap companies. And so been a surprisingly timely topic with VC money drying up. So it's been a very interesting 2 weeks with Silicon Valley Bank collapsing, and you know, they were funding half of tech startups. Half had a connection to Silicon Valley Bank. I was like, oh my gosh. That's some deep tentacles into the startup ecosystem. So a little crazy times, huh?
Absolutely. I know I've been to several events sponsored by Silicon Valley Bank over the years, met some fine folks there. So I was pretty stunned by the news, but just digging deeper. I mean, running a bank is not easy in the current interest rate environment. And of course, lots of scapegoats that people are trying to make out there. So not a banking expert, but lots of turmoil, both here and obviously on the European side of things as well.
Yeah, it's not over. You know, rates just went up another quarter point, and it's going to continue to impact people. Any bank that assumed that rates would plateau and come back down, and they're being proven wrong right now because they're going up still. You know, it's proving challenging. So we'll see how far this contagion spreads. It turns out that the $250,000 FDIC limit's actually not a $250,000 limit anymore, because they just de facto guaranteed all deposits, which they literally don't have. That's an insurance problem, Rob. The FDIC is an insurance company, and they don't have the capital to insure all of the deposits. They've been collecting premium to insure $250,000 per account. So they've created a pretty big insurance problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the moral hazard of it, I think they have something like a $12 billion backstop, but that's not going to cut it if all the banks are threatened, if this is more systemic.
No way. No, they've got to figure it out. And with us from Cutter, actually, Lars Gurman. How's it going, Lars? Good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Right. And I think we feel the pulse of all these banking issues in our region as well. So yes, absolutely. A lot of impact.
Yeah. It's got an impact around the world. There's no, you know, it's a global economy. You can't say anything is contained to one country anymore at all. You talk about a banking crisis, you immediately have a global banking crisis because everybody banks everybody else. it's complicated. It turns out the world economy is really complicated. That's actually my number one summary from the last 3 years, because we're at the 3 year anniversary of COVID.
Yeah.
No. Exactly 3 years ago, the world shut down, and we found out how interconnected the global supply chain was. It turns out every other industry, insurance, banking, is just interconnected. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about innovation. We're going to talk about insurance. We're going to talk about what it's like to live in Qatar in the Middle East. We're also going to talk about an event that's coming up there in the MENA, Middle East, North Africa region. And with us today again is Lars Gurman. He's Group Chief Digital Officer at Qatar Insurance Company. Some pronounce it Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R, but my friends who lived there all like made me change the way I say it to Qatar. The company website there is qic-group.com if you want to check it out while you're listening to the show. Lars, let's talk about you for a second before we talk about your job. Where were you born and raised?
In the eastern part of Germany. So I've seen a couple of changes in systems, yeah? So yes, born there, raised there, and then moved to the western part of Germany, then have many years in Spain, a couple of years in Switzerland, and the last almost two in Qatar.
So tell me about the significance of November 9th, 1989 for you.
Massive. If you have lived in the eastern part of Germany, then you have been old enough. I had at least an age, yeah. Not old enough, but at least an age. This was a traumatic change for everybody. And you still feel this in people. Really long ago, you still have this difference between East and West and feelings and how actually you believe. And also, what is your perspective on the current political situation in Russia and Ukraine?
Yeah, it's amazing how interconnected modern events are with past events, and it helps to have some historical perspective on those things. Of course, for the uninitiated, November 1989 is the day the Berlin Wall fell, and it really changed everything in Europe, re-architected Germany's future, and pretty fascinating culmination of a pretty terrible time, I would say. For Germans having to split their country and deal with I it's rare that you meet someone who lived in East Germany, to meet someone who actually lived in East Germany before the wall fell. So it's nice to meet you. It's nice to talk about that. When you were growing up, now the wall fell in the middle of your childhood. Did it change your outlook on life? Did you have a career goal before the wall fell? And then once the world opened up and you could travel freely, and did things change for you?
It's really a long time ago, I have to say, right? We're talking 30 years. But nevertheless, yes, I still remember. I always was somebody looking out where I couldn't travel because it was just limited, right? And suddenly the world was open for us, right? And yeah, I'd like to live my life in this way. I took the opportunity to work and live in other countries because it's really how lovely about this work, the interconnection, the culture, a different way of.
Yeah, and it looks like your first job out of college was at PricewaterhouseCoopers as a business analyst, is that right?
Yep. Yeah, I was a consultant there, so I did this job for 2 years, and then I was fed up with the consulting business. And this is how it was done back then. It was really rapidly going into a new small company and doing the same thing, consulting. A bit more responsibility. Yeah, so this was actually my first touch point with insurance. Imagine in the year 2000, so before the dot-com bust, right? On one of the first German's digital MGAs. And you're still trying to solve the very same issues 22 years later.
Isn't that interesting? Still haven't figured some of this out. I did a grand total of 6 months of work in the exact same time frame at PricewaterhouseCoopers. I was a undergrad business intern and a graduate student intern at Pricewaterhouse in Dallas in the summer of 2001 were the two summers I did that. So I was there for 6 months, and it was definitely long enough for me to realize I didn't want to do it. And so, it led me to starting the business I'm still running today. I've been running this company for 22 years where we build insurance software. And so you and I had a very similar place to start. And then you launched into consulting and had touch points with insurance. You had an interesting career, largely in, it looks like, financial services, on to finance. And you worked at a family office clients for Golden Visa. And then you had Honda Bank, and then you had Testif, and then you had Venture Builder. You've had quite a few steps along the way in financial services. When did things come back to insurance for you? Was it during time at Zurich?
Yes, so it was actually like this, right? I got out into the wider financial services, had a lot of fun. built a couple of own companies, some that pretty successful, right? And others that didn't fly, right? And then in 2018, I got a call from somebody, Zurich Insurance, yeah, that wanted to change the way how Zurich Insurance works in terms of new digital things. This is me. I'm digital entrepreneurs. I look for newer challenges, how we can do things differently. I just lost the call back to the insurance. I had a good time over there for years, something like this, and then moved on.
So what path, you can fast forward. We don't have to go through every stop on your resume because I really want to talk about what you're doing now. But your path to your current job, which is Group Chief Digital Officer, for the Qatar Insurance Group, what led you back into insurance and what led you to Qatar Insurance?
I mean, back in insurance is basically my passion for doing new things. I've built companies in different sectors, right? Automotive, with Honda, we built a bank, a digital bank, Spain. I had an education app company, I have a fashion app company. So I did a lot of things. I've learned a lot of things on how to get startups to succeed. Made my own mistakes in this process in the last years. And really coming back into insurance was this challenge. Can you work in a big corporate and trying to bring the background of startups into this big corporate and do new things? This is what brought me back. It was not really a call back to insurance. It was, wow, this is an interesting challenge for me, right? Combining corporate with startup mentality and doing this kind of innovation. This also brought me back to insurance. So I think we had a lot of fun. A lot of really interesting projects in different countries and different people. Amazing, amazing stuff, right? That she has been working on startups more in the European sector, being exposed to global opportunities. So this was really fun. But also realized this is a tanker that was too big for me to really have a lot of fun. I had fun, but not enough fun. So it was time to move on to something else, right? And there's something else I said, okay, I have done that many things already. So I was really happy about what we could do in insurance again. When the call came from insurance group, it's a different setup. It's obviously a smaller company, but Qatar Insurance Group is a leading insurer in the Middle East. Number one in Qatar, number four in UAE, number three in Oman. It does 60% of our business in the UK through a reinsurance and a Lloyd's syndicate. So really interesting international setup. And coming back to the ecosystem here, there was really a nascent ecosystem, like a lot of ideas are flying around in the Middle East. So this was, I think, the right setup for me. A company that is willing to do new things, has the size to do new things, in an area where not much is done last year. It's all about new things for me, building new companies.
And what is that? Let's talk about Qatar Insurance Group. And, tell me about the company and what the major lines that rights are, like what does it do and what do you do? Cause your job title is really pretty broad reaching and could apply to a lot of things inside the company. So what does the company do and what do you do inside of it?
Qatar Insurance Group is really a full stack insurer. So we are in the Middle East, mainly about the P&C business, retail and corporate. We have a strong footprint in Qatar and the UAE on health and life. We have a reinsurance business, which people in the UK know us quite well. We have a really good Lloyd's syndicate. So it's really a little bit of all, but this makes us quite diversified and opportunities to work on many things. My job is rather not doing IT stuff, but again, looking into new digital business models. How can we build new things that help us in the future to grow in different business models and different revenue streams? How can we partner with other companies to build faster and get more reach? So this is what I do in Qatar Insurance Group. So less digital transformation, do it as a little bit, and influence, yeah, impulse given, right? But really about new opportunity.
Yeah, you say build things faster. Give me an example of something that you want to build faster.
Well, we want to build faster. So yeah, 1 year and a half in. How do you do this? Like, so this is the question. You have to see what is the company set up in which ecosystem you're living in? And then you have to find the right answer to doing this kind of innovation. We found our way would be what we can now call digital venture partners. Built a unit that compromised its own venture studio the team and he looks into new business models, test this business model out and get them out. We have two ventures right now on Stell. Let's see that we hope to get them out during the summer. Yeah. So this is one. Then obviously, you want to help the ecosystem and the ecosystem to help you to build faster. So if a small CVC unit invest into IntroTechs, that do this, right? Help us to build faster, enable the distribution, implement, as we can help and grow with other IntroTechs in the different sectors that you're not in, then this is fun as well. So this is our approach. This is how we are getting out. We are 1 year and a half in, right? So little fun time, right? A lot of concept strategy, getting things done, hiring the right people. We have a green team with us. All the support we can do, we can get trying to build.
In looking at your website, you got quite a few different, you have personal insurance with a lot of lines, boat, motorcycle, home, travel, car, you have business insurance, property and casualty, marine, aviation, energy, motor fleet. I mean, you have a full claims department. So, I mean, there's real quite a few lines. There's a lot of room for you to experiment and play with in this company then.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's more room that we have actually energy and possibilities right now, capabilities. So we're looking into, I mentioned about those two stuff things. One is in digital health. So and this is one of those areas where, not rocket science compared to what the things that we are doing in Europe and the States and Asia. But nevertheless, there's still a couple of areas that I'm missing in the release. So we're working on this. How can we use technology to reduce the claims ratio to have better service and enable new kind of propositions that tech actually helps us to get out in the business? And we look into cyber. There's a couple of interesting places in the States and Asia and Europe. We haven't landed yet in the Middle East. Yes, the question is right. There are that many things that we actually could work on, but we cannot. And we will not be able to work on all business lines in the future. So we have to focus. We focus on those three points. And on the others, I cannot wait. So what do we do typically, right? So we work with the ecosystem, and this is what, in addition to that, right? So I can invest in IntroTechs that help us to work on a business line that we don't have the capacity to work on, and you're still getting things done. So this is the approach that we are taking.
It's interesting if you study the history of the Qatar Insurance Company, and you go back and you read through their heritage on the website from, the start in 1964 when Qatar was a very different place and Qatar Insurance Company was a much smaller company, and you see how much this company has adapted to the new reality of the Middle East and the new reality of Qatar and, oil money and all the things that brought. It's been fascinating to see its transformation. And of course, I think from a technologist perspective, it's exciting to see them being tech forward enough to have a digital officer and to have investment arms and to really be experimenting with how do you roll new products out and how do you do something in what, is a relatively young country. If you look at just the country, the way it is now, it's only been this way for not too long. So they're not burdened by a lot of the baggage that other places are burdened. So you're seeing, in my opinion, a lot more room for experimentation. I've studied the construction sector extensively, and Qatar has been an area of rapid experimentation and deployment, and because they're trying to grapple with, big city problems in a very short period of time. And so it's been interesting to see all the ways that not just insurance, but other industries are experimenting in your area. So for a guy who likes to change and likes new challenges, it must be exciting to be in the middle of all that energy, right?
No, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. The whole region is a lot of fun right now. It's a booming market. It's emerging, but it's really a booming market everywhere. A lot of people coming into the region, which gives the opportunity to just do a new thing. And yes, we have this big poster in our office where you look into the desert, and there's one building that is constructed. It's our building 30 years ago. There was nothing, right? And in the meantime, if you see the images of the World Cup, right? There's Doha, there's West Bay, all the skyscraper. But there was nothing. There was our office, right? So it's like, wow, what happened in the last 30 years? I was not there, right? I'm 1 year and a half, almost 2 years in. So it's just amazing what happens over here in the region. I mean, this is what makes interesting, opportunities, and also what we are working this way that we are working. The management teams come from different regions. We have seen different kind of intertechs and digital opportunities coming up. fail and coming up and succeed. And you're trying to bring the best here and adapt it in the way that actually can work. I think you mentioned what else we do. But I think we have an InsurTech with 300 people in the group that delivers our backend system. Yeah, you mentioned that you develop your own, but we are delivering the backend system for all our different kind of insurance services and the effects on the clients as well. So even before I came, the company was looking into the future of how to do the things in the proper way. So I think we're quite an innovation and tech leader for the wider region. And we are building on this and try to do it even faster.
So Lars, I want to follow up on the region. I know you spent a large part of your career in Europe and in different countries. So, you know, think about the MENA region, right, and the InsurTech ecosystem. What are some of the key challenges and opportunities that you're seeing out there?
I think in general, it's a good market in the terms that new people are coming in. So if you have new people coming in into those different countries, there's always room to sell something in terms of insurance and other services. It is a challenging market because you have an 80 or 90% expat population, at least in Qatar and UAE, yeah, less than Oman and Saudi, but nevertheless, there's a lot of expats in there, which makes it challenging in terms of propositions. Because you could have one proposition that fits all, but this never works, right? Or you build propositions for different kinds of market sectors. The region itself and the insurance sector, I think, is in general undercapitalized. We have a lot of insurance companies that are not able to take risk on their own balance sheet. We are different. QOC and maybe that two, three, four, five other insurance companies left their strength in the balance sheet and the capital to really take risk, which, as a consequence for the ecosystem, reduces the capabilities to do really innovative projects. If you always sell and then have to deliver everything else to the reinsurance, there's just no margin to invest into new things. So this is one of those areas where we're lacking in the ecosystem. And I believe we have to work on this. They're trying to do this. But as such, it's a really dynamic market. Many things are happening here. Many things can be tested out. And you have this opportunity, right? So if 80% of the people living here are expats and they have their family home in the wider region, in the Philippines, Bangladesh and India. It's different, but it's interesting.
Now, let's talk about your intersection with IT. You said that you're not doing IT projects. I think that's what you said. I'd be interested if you could elaborate on how you work together with the technology group and what your partner share looks like.
Yes. I think we talked at the beginning about our shared PwC, PwC practice, right? So I was able to read SQL, right? So I was able to read it, but I don't do anymore, but no, I'm not a tech guy anymore. It's really about business and doing things. I think I'm really happy compared to what I've been living in 20 or even 10 years ago. IT was a major headache. I think we've seen in the last 3-4 years or even 2 years, big shift on IT getting marginalized. So you actually get it, put this into a business model and it works. This is amazing. Yeah, so you don't have that many headaches anymore because it's really a lot of solutions out there that are really standard. I can get them via SaaS, right? And put them into a business model and see if it's actually working out. So yes, you have the intersection. Modern architecture helps us to really don't complicate the things anymore. Yeah, and I'm really grateful for this. It's all about business in today's world and not that much anymore about IT, which has its right. Yes, you need IT guys, yeah. We're working not only with our own IT and InsurTech that has the backend, but we have a couple of other providers as well. You just have the best solutions for the problems that we want to solve and get them in and connect this with the interface, the APIs, and then.
Yeah. So, are you a customer of IT in your digital group?
Yes. Yes.
And so you're working with them to roll new product out. Like, what exactly are you innovating? Are you experimenting with parametric insurance, and are you experimenting with IoT devices to collect data? Are you experimenting with, you know, paper mile, paper use? I mean, like what major experiments are you conducting?
Yeah. So I think in the retail sector, and this is what we focus right now in the retail sector, we have exactly this, right? You have mobility solutions that are tested in the system, in the market. I think there are a couple of solutions that you just can rent, and we rented them and testing them in certain market segments. Using data to do better proposition for certain market segments. This is, I believe, we are strong and we have the background on how to use data and analyze. This also requires that the underwriters understand how to work with this data, which is something that I believe we are not really strong in the wider region, right? It's still, as we talked about in the beginning, all about standard business, standard product. One product fits everybody, right? And so you're coming now and saying, no, take the small product for this 10% of the market segment, and actually everybody's is happy. So yes, we are working on EV, yeah. Electric vehicles propositions. I think there's a couple of the writing groups that are not really done in the proper way here in the Middle East. And we look obviously on health, but health is everything around data. Yeah. How we can be tracked and how the data that is tracked about us can be used to help us to live healthier and even longer, right? So we're doing this. And how do we do this? Well, we have interesting companies, tech companies in our region that we're partnered with, but there are also corporations with companies like Prefina in the States that help us to do crazy stuff. Yeah, so we like to bring this kind of innovation into the region and go to the next step.
So Lars, I want to ask you about a couple of groups that you're involved with and you've started. So I know at Qatar Insurance, you guys have started Digital Venture Partners where you're building your own insurtechs. You alluded to that. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about what that looks like and you know, what's the vision for that. And then also, I know you're a co-founder of the MENA InsurTech Association. So that's going to involve a lot of capacity, VC, insurtechs, the wider ecosystem going beyond, right, just your own company and really speaking to the region. So we'd love to hear a little bit more about each.
So yes, Len, thank you for the question. So yes, Digital Venture Partners is what we preach every day, right? The team is looking into new ideas, test those ideas in the market. It's like you would test ideas, right? So growth hacking, you put a landing page out, you see there, is there interest or not interest, right? You find the right tech provider to really provide the solution if there's enough interest. And then the challenge starts, right? How do we get this insurance product out? Because yes, you have a certain market segment, but then you need internally to put it on your own balance sheet, which is in our case fine. But many other insurtechs actually have to kick the doors and say, hey, who's willing to take the risk? And we came to the point where we as a venture partner did this, also working on a couple of propositions that we are not able to take on our own books. Right? So I have to do the same, the knocking on the doors on our same side as well. So we do this, yeah, we're building this kind of style ventures and we're investing into insurtechs. But seeing the limits of the ecosystem, and I think the limits in our region are not similar, they're the same, but I think we have a different variance. I think we have a lack of fronting and capacity providers in the region. I think regulators still have to catch up on what tech means and new business model means. Yeah, we also have, at least in our region, the VC capital is there, but everybody understands Middle East has money. But VC money doesn't really understand what insurance means. Yeah, because there's a difference. And you know this, I know this, right? Our team knows this. There's a difference in investing in insurance and investing just in financial services or in some other products. So you need to understand what are the limits, right? And then I think on top of this, the challenge is that we haven't seen many insurtechs being successful in the Middle East in the last years. And as a consequence, we don't have enough talent. This is what is missing, right? If there are more digital techs that are there, and even if they fail, right, you build talent and the talent does the next thing. As we don't have many of them in there, we don't have the talent to test out the new things, right? On top of this, we have really small countries, not to get too close to this, but finally, compared to the States, 350 million, or to Europe, 350 million people, a small states, right? 3, 6, 10 million. Saudi's a little bit bigger, yeah. But this is what we're having. So if you're building a proposition, you need from the day one think about how you can scale this across the border in an ecosystem that works totally different. You need local partners to make it fly. And I think what I just mentioned are the limiting factors in the ecosystem. And this is why we are actually putting the MENA InsurTech Association out, which is a networking organization that is trying to solve those factors by connecting the different dots of the different partners to make more things happen.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about the most, let's kind of close up the conversation talking about exciting projects. What's the most exciting innovation or project that you can talk about that you're working on right now?
I believe really exciting, we are excited about two things. Digital health. Yeah, and yes, there's the state health thing that everybody does, but can you work and build on data and new propositions? Yeah, and this is something that is quite unique in different ecosystems. It's unique to our challenges, health challenges that we have in the Middle East. So we're really excited about this. Precision health is something where you can do kind of different models in insurance as well. So this is one area where we're really excited about. Having a scan on your face and have the variables of your health by the scan of the face, like, yes, it's some sort of FDA proven, but some others still not. But if you think this through, in the next 2 years, what will happen, there's just a kind of totally different experience, user experience on how health will be delivered. And this means it's a totally different experience in insurance as well. So we are working on this, and a couple of other insurance companies are working. I'm really excited about health in general, not only in Middle East, globally, but Middle East, they have our own challenges. I'm excited about this. Also, how can we, I mentioned this before, we deliver for the people that are living in our countries, but their families outside our countries, right? This combination is really an interesting area. I think it's one of those areas where we are talking about the immune interesting associations. You want to enable that 75% of the people living there have at least access to digital insurance and these propositions. I think the other thing that I'm really excited about is this, I've seen this coming in the States, you've seen this in Asia, a little bit in Europe as well. A proactive monitoring cyber insurance, where you don't have a paper form to fill out, and then you see what they've done in the past, but actually scan the companies, see where they're right now, see how fast they are patching, calculate the proper underwriting risk that you are taking, and building a proposition that works. At least you're one of the regions where we have the highest ransom payouts compared to the rest of the world, right? We don't have a proper cyber insurance yet. So we're working with partners on things. There are a couple of players doing similar things, but it's about doing it right and capacity and the proper way. So those are two areas where we are really excited about. And again, all data and how we can use tech to deliver a different kind of user experience.
I mean, it's really exciting. But on digital health, like when you're talking about digital health, I didn't see health insurance as a line that you guys offer. What area of your business is that going to really impact?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, so yes, you have seen right on the website, you don't see it anymore, but we are founder of QM, Qatar Life Medical Life, which is leading health insurance in Qatar. Yeah, it's now IPO'd 2 years ago. This is why you don't see it on our page, right? But it has been built out of QOC. So yes, this is our partner, client, venture partner, and doing this. So yeah, we are reaching a good chunk of the Qatar population with just some health insurance. And this is why it's a good natural start to get new things.
Gotcha. Understood. Makes a lot of sense. I recently, about a year ago, got my very first client in health, life, and disability. And it's been a education, to say the least, because for 19 years, I've worked in work comp, property, auto, general liability. To jump into the health, life, and disability, and dental, et cetera, has been a big education. But you do find out that fundamentally the challenges are very similar, just expressed in different ways. Rob, why don't you take us home? Last question or comment you got?
Yeah, Lars. No, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. You have a big event coming up, an InsurTech Summit later this spring. So I'd love you to tell our listeners a little bit more about that, and understand that you might even have a discount code for our fine InsurTech Geek podcast listeners and viewers.
Thank you, Rob, for this question. I'm really happy to talk about this. Yes. So as you talked about the ecosystem and what you're doing over here. So we have been running InsurTech competitions in a couple of countries over here. We have at InsurTechs that have applied. We have selecting the 25 best InsurTechs out of the whole MENA region, Middle East and North Africa. And we bring them to our summit where we see the best 25 MENA InsurTechs and want to select the very best out of those 25. And we have a matchmaking with VCs, yeah, so international InsurTech VCs and regional VCs. And we have capacity fronting a matchmaking. Second day is a knowledge conference, InsurTech knowledge conference with international speakers coming in, the regional ones coming in. So this is the event that we're doing. 20 to 22nd of May, 3 days event. I would be happy to see you all there, either on site or online. They have a streaming service with us. So please reach out. And yes, we have a discount code here for this podcast. So happy to see you there.
Great. That's good. Good about that. We hope that if you're in the region and want to go to that event, you can go, right? Rob, you going to go?
I probably won't be in the region, but I'll definitely try to join online for sure, virtually.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I have never, just full disclosure, never been to your area of the world. So I have a strong desire to get over there and check it out. I've heard lots about it, and it's high on my list. I unfortunately have spent 22 years bootstrapping a software company whose clients are predominantly here. And so it's meant a lot of domestic travel and travel around North America with that, not a lot of time for anything other than London and one trip to China. So I'm a little jealous you get to be in this rapidly transforming part of the world that's really building great things. Can people connect with you on LinkedIn? Is that where you're active, Lars?
Yes, that's the best way of connecting. Yeah. So we would be looking into partnerships. We're helping international companies to come to the region, get into this space. So yes, please connect with me. I think they have in the back, my LinkedIn profile, and then we take it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know it's a good bit later where you are than it is where we are. So I appreciate you staying up and being on the show during our hours. But it's really wonderful talking to you. And certainly it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Lars Gehrman from Qatar Insurance Company. See you next week. The InsurTech Geek podcast, powered by JB Knowledge, jbknowledge.com. It's all about technology that's transforming and disrupting the insurance world. I've been your host, James Benham. That's jamesbenham.com, with co-host Rob Galbraith at endofinsurance.com. Thanks to Jim Greenlee, our podcast producer, Kara Dalton Aro, our creative producer, and thank you for joining us today. Look forward to talking with you soon. We're taking you on a journey through insurance tech, so enjoy the ride and geek out.